رسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, we continue with our preparatory discussion for Ashrat al-Sa'a, the signs of the hour, and we covered a few things so far from the introduction of this book, including a discussion of the importance of believing in the last day and some of the names of the last day and what relationship that those names have to the incidents that take place on that day. And then we discussed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about things that would take place in the future, including the signs of the hour. And there are left a few discussions in this introduction before we can get into our subject. One of them, and the longest, is what we will spend most of the time or all of the time today over, which is the Hadith al-Ahad. Hadith al-Ahad, which means the hadith narrated by individuals, the individual's hadith. And the discussion is meant to prove the hujjiyah of hadith al-ahad, which means that the hadith al-ahad gives evidence fil aqaid in regard to aqidah or items of belief. Which means that the individual, the hadith narrated by individuals, is enough to give us a belief, to increase our faith, or to add to what we know with belief and with conviction. Why do we have to discuss this? It is because many of the ahadith that we will base our discussion on are considered as ahad, hadith ahad. So first let us define what is hadith al-ahad, or the individual hadith of individuals. The hadith, if you make general wide classification of the hadith, can be divided into two types: hadith mutawatir or hadith al-ahad. Hadith mutawatir means the hadith which was narrated by a large group of narrators in every level of its narration, from the beginning of the isnad to the end, from the last narrator, which is usually where it's recorded in the books of hadith, till the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each level, each tabaqa should be tawatur. It has a tawatur. What is tawatur? Tawatur means that it is narrated by a large group of people who are impossible to all together agree on saying something wrong, a mistake or a lie or anything like that. Which means if some of them, two of them, may be mistaken, may be wrong, may forget, may lie, the rest, because of their large numbers and being so much spread about, it's impossible that they will all agree on saying something wrong. So al-mutawatir huwa ma rawahu jam'un an jam'in yastahilu fil 'adati tawatu'uhum 'ala al-kadhib min awwal as-sanad ila akhirih. This is mutawatir. Ahad is anything other than that. Ahad is anything like that. Sometimes there are more, you know, detailed classifications like ahad. There is ahad, and there is then they divide into several groups depending on how many narrators there are in each level. If there are less than three, more than three, more than seven, etc. But in general, if the number of narrators is such that it is possible, at least you know to the mind, to the thinking, it's possible that they might agree on saying something wrong, then this is not mutawatir, this is ahad. So there is no clear-cut number that you can give. Like, say, if the narrators in each level are 10, then it is mutawatir. If they are less, it is ahad. If 10 or more mutawatir, you cannot do that. So it depends on the narrators, where they live, and other things.
Which is stronger?
Yeah, mutawatir is definitely stronger. If which means it has so many narrators, of course it's not.
I'm saying stronger.
As we will see, the people of Hadith, the scholars of Hadith, they all accept Hadith al-Ahad as being an evidence, even in matters of belief. Whereas the people of Kalam, the people who, you know, depend on philosophical discussions and things like that, they say the contrary. They say that khabar al-ahad la tathbut bihi aqidah. You cannot take aqidah from individual narrations, but rather you need dalil qat'i, the absolute evidence, which would be an ayah or a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's what they say, and we will prove that this is wrong. You know, some of them go to the extent of claiming that there's ijma on this that we said last. Like Shaltut, in his book Al-Fatawi, he says Shaltut, he was the Sheikh of Al-Azhar early in this century, about, maybe not too early actually, probably in the time of Abdul Nasir, or a little before or a little during. I think he was contemporary to Abdul Nasir. He probably died about 20 years, 30 years ago, something like that. But he was considered, you know, one of the top scholars of Egypt in his time. And he has a book called Al-Fatawi. Yeah, Mahmoud Shaltut. He says, وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءَ عَلَى أَنَّ أَحَادِيثَ الْآحَادِ لَا تُفِيدُ عَقِيدَةً وَلَا يَصَحُّ الْاعْتِمَادُ عَلَيْهَا فِي شَأْنِ الْمُغَيَّبَاتِ. He claims Ijma'ah. He says, Ijma'ah, there is consensus among the scholars that the Ahadith of Ahad do not give Aqeedah. You cannot get Aqeedah out of them, and you cannot rely on them in matters of ghaib. So that's what he said in Fatawi and in Islam, Aqeedah wa Sharia, and so on. Yeah, of course. I mean, definitely, that's probably what they mean. So Ibn Hajar, هذا القول مردود. This saying is rejected, because if the hadith is confirmed to be authentic by the report of the trustworthy reporters, and it reaches us with a correct, authentic way, then we must believe in it. Whether it is mutawatir or ahad. Whether it's mutawatir or ahad, and it gives the definite, the absolute knowledge. العلم اليقيني. إنه يوجب العلم اليقيني. This is the madhab, the way of the ulama of the salaf. And yes.
So the both the types of hadith, I mean, according to my knowledge, I only know like the sahih, and if it's not sahih, then leave it alone. I don't know the difference between any.
No, as we said, mutawatir means it is reported by a great number of narrators from one level to the other, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salaam rahmatullah. So this hadith is authentic, no doubt about it. And there are some hadith like that in Islam, but they are very few. Some scholars consider them, you know, like you can count them on both hands, depending on how stringent the conditions you have for tawatur. The hadith al-ahad, that's every, all other ahadith is ahad. And this includes sahih, da'if, and so on, mawdu' even. So what we care about, of course, what we are referring to is hadith al-ahad, which is authentic. And the individual hadith, which is authentic, then if it proves authentic, then you have to take the beliefs from it. You have to base your belief on this type of hadith as well. So, any hadith, even if it is ahad, then it means it is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have no choice, no option but to take it and accept it. As Allah says, "Atiyu Allah wa Rasul," obey Allah and the Messenger. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he says, this is in Fath al-Bari, قد شاع فاشيا عمل الصحابة والتابعين بخبر الواحد من غير نكير فاقتضى الاتفاق منهم على القبول, which means it has been widespread and well known among the Sahaba and Tabi'in to follow or accept the hadith of al-wahid, which means the individual hadith, without any objection. So this makes us agree, their agreement on this action makes us accept it, so we must accept that also. Ibn Abi Al-Az said, rahimahullah, said, خبر الواحد إذا تلقته الأمة بالقبول عملا به وتصديقا له يفيد العلم اليقيني عند جماهير الأمة وهو أحد قسمي المتواتر ولم يكن بين سلف الأمة في ذلك نزاع. He says the narrations, the individual narrations, so if they are accepted by the Ummah, which means if the Ummah in general, all the Muslims, even though it is hadith of Ahad, if the Ummah accepts it as being reliable hadith that they follow and believe in it, عَمَنَ بِي وَتَصْدِيقَ اللَّهِ, they act upon it and they believe in it, then it gives, it provides the definite knowledge according to the large groups of the Ummah, which means the largest, the majority of the Ummah. And it is one of the two parts of mutawatir, which means, according to Ibn Abi Al-Az, he even called this type mutawatir, which is, you know, not necessarily something acceptable by everybody, but at least he classified it as if it is mutawatir because of the acceptance of the Ummah for that hadith. And he said there was no difference among the Salaf of the Ummah in this regard, the great scholars of the Sahaba and their followers. They never differed about this understanding. An example is the hadith of إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, deeds are only by intentions, which is reported by Umar radiallahu anhu. This hadith is ahad, and it's not mutawatir. And from the Sahaba, it's only Umar who reported it, and then from the Tabi'een, probably a few of them, and so on, in each level. And yet, all the Ummah accepts this hadith. And it is in Bukhari and Muslim. It's in the very beginning of Bukhari and of Muslim. So the fact that the whole Ummah accepted this hadith, Talaqatu bil Qabul, this makes it, according to what he's saying here, at the level of mutawatir, this hadith. Even though not in Isnad it is mutawatir, but in meaning it is mutawatir among the Ummah. The Ummah of Muslims. And the Jama'i al-Ummah. Yeah, I mean, it means, of course, the scholars, first of all. That's what we care about. Not the ignorant people among them. Well, it means the ulama in particular, and their followers, followers of the truth. وسأل رجل إمام الشافعي عن مسألة. A man asked Imam Shafi about a matter. He said, قضى فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا وكذا. So he answered him. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, judged or gave the decision in this regard, such and such. So a man said, ما تقول أنت? So what is your opinion? He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم decided such and such. He said, طب, how about you? He said, subhanallah, أتراني في بيعة? He said, subhanallah, do you see me in a church? أتراني على وسطي زنارة? Do you see that I'm tying a rope around my belt, like, you know, the monks used to do? أقول لك قضى رسول الله وأنت تقول ما تقول أنت. I tell you that Allah's Messenger decided something, and you ask me about my opinion, which means, as Allah says, وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيارة من أمرهم. It is not for any believing man or woman, once Allah and His Messenger decree a matter, that they have a choice in that matter. So that's the final word. And also Shafi'i rahimahullah said, متى رويت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديثا صحيحا فلم آخذ به فأشهدكم أن عقلي قد ذهب. He said, if I ever report an authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then do not follow it, do not apply it, then I bear witness that in that case I lost my mind. And Imam al-Shafi'i, by these statements, he did not distinguish. He did not say only if it is mutawatir, then I'll follow it. If it is not mutawatir, then I won't follow it. No, if it is authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I'll take it. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, كل ما جاء على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بإسناد جيد أقرنا به وإذا لم نقر بما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ودفعناه ورددناه رددنا على الله أمره إذ قال وما أتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. He says whatever comes to us from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with an authentic, with a good isnad, with a good chain of narrators, we commit to it, we accept it. Even and if we did not agree or accept what the Prophet ﷺ came with and rejected, then we would be rejecting or disobeying Allah's command, in which Allah says, what means, whatever the messenger gives you, take it, whatever he prohibits for you, keep away from it. So neither Imam Ahmad rahimahullah required that the hadith has to be mutawatir for it to be accepted by him. All that he required is that the isnad would be good. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, وَالسُنَّةُ إِذَا ثَبَتَتْ فَإِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كُلُّهُمْ مُتَّفِقُونَ عَلَى وُجُوبِ اتِّبَاعِهَا. Once a sunnah, which means a hadith and a narration from the Prophet ﷺ, is established, which means with the isnad, with the narration, then all Muslims agree that it must be obeyed. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, in regard to similar discussion of Khabar al-Wahid, he says, وَمِنْ هَذَا إِخْبَارُ الصَّحَابَةِ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَجْزُمُونَ بِمَا يُحَدِّثُ بِهِ أَحَدُهُمْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ولم يقل أحد منهم لمن حدثه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خبرك خبر واحد لا يفيد العلم حتى يتواتر. He says among this which means something that he was discussing is that the Sahaba, when they told each other something from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they would say I was told this, so they would accept it from them. They would not say to them, well, you are only one person telling me this, I will not accept it from you that the Prophet ﷺ truly said it until you bring some other people to witness for you. And this applies to matters of beliefs as well as matters of ahkam, of rulings and legislations. He says here, حتى إنهم ربما تثبتوا في بعض أحاديث الأحكام ولم يطلب أحد منهم الاستظهار في رواية أحاديث الصفات البتة. So contrary to what people usually claim, they would try sometimes, if somebody tells somebody that you should do such and such in a matter of fiqh, like how you make ghusl, how you make tayammum, etc., they would try to confirm that by other witnesses. But in matters of belief, in the like regarding the sifat, the attributes of Allah, it is never reported they did anything like this. What? Okay, stay here. You are sick, stay here. What's upstairs? The boys are upstairs? Okay, don't go outside. Go upstairs, but don't go outside. Okay. There's food, huh? Okay, so you know the example of Umar radiallahu anhu when he was confirming from who was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, or who was one of the Sahaba who, when they argued about tayammum, I think it was Abu Musa, and I don't know. I thought it was Abu Musa. Allahu Akbar. But anyway, they were in a travel. There were several occasions when Umar radiallahu anhu confirmed from the Sahaba what they are saying. And he had janaba, Umar radiallahu anhu. He needed to take a bath, you know. So there was no water, and he rolled himself in the dust. And that Sahabi told him, Ammar, he told him, it was enough for you to, with one hit, for wajh al-kaffayn, for your face and your hands. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ, he said no. And he said, how would you say that? And he said, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, don't you remember when you were with the Prophet ﷺ, and the same happened to you and you rolled yourself in the dust and he told you it was enough for you to do such and such? He said, no, I don't remember. So he did not remember it, even though he was reminding about it several years later. And you know, and in that and similar occasions, like with Abu Huraira or with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abu Musa I remember now, he told him, he was giving some such similar fatwa and fiqh, and he said, if you want, I will not tell anybody. I will stop giving this fatwa if you order me. He said, no, it is upon your responsibility, that is. So it is your responsibility. Go ahead and... قال إذا شئت لم أحدث بها. قال لا بل حدث بها يعني على عهدتك أو كما قال له يعني. So this shows that they try to confirm in matters of fiqh and how, you know, in legislative matters, how to do things, rulings and things like that. But in matters of sifat, it is not. There are no reports that they said, no, I don't believe that this is true. You probably heard it wrong or something like that. He says here, he says, بَلْ كَانُوا أَعْظَمُ مُبَادَرَةً إِلَىٰ قَبُولِهَا وَتَصْدِيقِهَا وَالْجَزْمِ مُقْتَضَاهَا. They would hasten to believe in the reports about the sifat, about the matters of belief. مِنَ الْمُخْبِرِ لَهُمْ بِهَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. From the one who reports them from the Prophet, from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَنْ لَهُ أَدْنَى إِلْمَامٌ بِالسُّنَّةِ وَالْتِفَاتٌ إِلَيْهَا. أدنى. Whoever has the slightest knowledge of Sunnah would know that. And we could mention more than 100 examples, you see. There will be some examples that we'll mention soon, inshaAllah. وَأَمَّا مَا عَرَضَ الْمُنْكِرِينَ لِحُجِّيَّةِ خَبَرِ الْوَاحِدِ مِنْ شُبْهَةٍ وَهِيَ أَنَّ خَبَرَ الْآحَادِ يُفِيدُ الظَّنَّ وَيَعْنُونَ بِهِ الظَّنَّ الرَّاجِحَ لِجَوَازِ خَطَأِ الْوَاحِدِ أَوْ غَفْلَتِهِ أَوْ نَسْيَانِهِ. وَظَنُّ الرَّاجِحِ يَجِبُ الْعَمَلُ بِهِ فِي الْأَحْكَامِ اتِّفَاقًا وَلَا يَجُوزُ الْأَخْذُ بِهِ عِنْدَهُمْ فِي الْمَسَائِلِ الْاَعْتِقَادِيَةِ. Some people say, those who have doubts about this matter, they say that the hadith, the individual hadith, you accept it, this gives you the most high probability, that is a high likelihood that what was said is true. If somebody comes who is known to be truthful and you know, accurate in reporting, and he tells you something, then you feel that most likely he is saying the truth. If another person comes and says the same thing, and you know that they were not working together and discussing that matter, but somebody comes from one city, for example, the other comes from another city or some other way, you know, and says something else, something similar, reports give the same kind of information, then you become more convinced that this must be true. And if a third person comes, then you are more and more convinced until it reaches tawatur. Everybody is saying it, so you say, this is definitely true. So he's saying, if only one person comes, or a few people, which is ahad, then this gives you a strong probability that this is true. That's what they say. And this is something which you can apply, therefore, dhanna rajah, in matters of ahkam, in legislations, in legislative matters, and you know, how to do things, how not to do them, matters of fiqh and prayer and so on, but not in atiqad, not in matters of belief. And they take the evidence for that is that Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يَغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. They only follow the doubts, and doubts do not prevent anything from the truth. And doubts do not you know, benefit anything again, from the truth. That is, they do not provide any truthful evidence or proof. Doubts. So the answer to this doubt that they have is that this is not an acceptable evidence for them. The answer that is not acceptable, because doubt here is not the most probable doubt. It is the doubt which is baseless. Allah is talking about the baseless doubt, which is like, you know, dreams and false thinking and so on. إِنَّمَا هُوَ الشَّكُّ وَالْكَذِبِ. It is only doubts and lies. وَالْخَرْصُ وَالْتَخْمِينَ. And to assume, make presumptions and assumptions. This is what the ayah is referring to. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said in وَمَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ أي لَيْسَ لَهُمْ عِلْمٌ صَحِيحٌ يُصَدِّقُ مَا قَالُوهُ, that they have no knowledge, means they have no true knowledge which confirms what they said. Rather, what they said is lying and fabrication. كَذِبٌ وَزُورٌ وَافْتِرَاءٌ وَكُفْرٌ شَنِيعٌ, and it is evil or ugly disbelief. So this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to in the ayah. How can we say that the report from an authentic, from a trustworthy Muslim, a Sahabi or a Tabi or one who comes after the Tabi, would be treated like this? Similarly, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا, they only follow doubts, and doubts do not benefit anything. No, this is the same. This same ayah, he says, أي لا يجدي شيئا ولا يقوم. This is still the words of Ibn Kathir. لا يجدي شيئا, which means doubts do not benefit anything and cannot come in the place of the truth. And the Prophet ﷺ has authentically said, إياكم وظن فإن الظن أكذب الحديث. Beware of doubts, because doubts are the worst of talks. So doubts and lies is a dhan that Allah Azza wa Jal blamed. And also in his saying, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَى الظَّنَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ فَوَصَفَهُمْ بِالظَّنِّ وَالْخَرْصِ الَّذِي هُوَ مُجَرَّدُ الْحَزْرِ وَالتَّخْمِينِ. He describes them in this ayah in Surah Al-An'am, they only follow the doubts and they are only guessing. So he says, this doubt which is blamed by Allah Azza wa Jal is that which is based on guessing and presumptions and things like that, and it's not that which is built on true knowledge, like somebody telling somebody else and he's sure about what he's telling him. And as for what they claim, that the narrator may forget or may be unaware of what he's saying or something like that, this is rejected, because you know the scholars of hadith, they make very stringent conditions and requirements for the narration of the individuals, for each reporter. فما صحة الحديث لا مجال لتوهم خطأ الراوي. Once the hadith is established to be authentic, so then there is no way to imagine that the narrator was wrong. And now, what evidence we have that one should take the hadith of the individuals? There are many evidences. For example, you know, we do not have much time to cover everything, but inshallah as much as possible. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. Which means it was never permitted, that is, for the believers to go out, that is, seeking knowledge of Shara, all of them. It would be enough from every group of them, that from every large group of them, to for, that a small group would come out. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ يَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, so that they would seek the knowledge of the deen and would warn their people when they come back to them. So this ayah encourages the believers to seek the knowledge of the deen. And ta'ifa tutlaqu ala al-wahid fama fawq. The word ta'ifa or small group refers to one person and above. So it's referring to a small group of people who would go and seek the knowledge and come back and teach their people. If that was not acceptable, then how would Allah Azza wa Jalla command believers to the believers to seek the knowledge in small numbers? And then let's wait until this side finishes in like 1 minute or so. And Allah Azza wa Jal refers to ta'ifa as one person sometimes, as in the ayah, وَإِن طَائِفَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا, if two groups of believers fight. In this case, it was referring to two men. No, Bukhari said that even if two men fight with each other, then this ayah applies to them. The second is Allah saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O believers, if a fasiq comes to you with the news, if a deviant person comes to you with some information, then confirm it or make sure that it is true. Do not just go ahead and believe in it. So if Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that we have to confirm the news, so this ayah is requiring tathabbut, which means to confirm what they are saying if they are deviant people, from the deviant people. But it's not asking to do that from the trustworthy people who tell us something that we are supposed to believe in it or act upon it. Allah Azza wa Jal also says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those charged with authority among you. So, if you differ about a matter, then refer it to Allah and the Messenger. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, in commenting on this ayah, said, "Ajma' al-Muslimun an al-Radda ila al-Rasul huwa al-Rujoo ilayhi fi hayatihi." The Muslims have a consensus that referring matters to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life is referring them to him during his life, and after his death is to refer them to his sunnah. وَاتَّفَقُوا عَلَّ أَنَّ فَرْضَ هَذَا الرَّدْ لَمْ يَسْقُدْ مَوْتِ. And they also agreed that this obligation is not gone by the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنْ كَانَ مُتَوَاتِرُ أَخْبَارِهِ وَآحَادُهَا لَا تُفِيدُ عَلْمًا وَلَا يَقِينًا لَمْ يَكُنْ لِلْرَدِّ إِلَيْهِ وَجْهًا. And if this, whether it is mutawatir or ahad, if that does not provide a solid knowledge, then there is no meaning for that ayah that we refer things to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the evidence from the sunnah, there are many of them. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send his messengers to the kings and rulers in different areas. And also he used to send people to give dawah to various places. So for example, بعث أبا عبيدة عامر بن الجراح رضي الله عنه إلى أهل نجران. This is in Bukhari. He sent Abu Ubaida ibn al-Jarrah رضي الله عنه to the people of Najran. وبعث معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه إلى أهل اليمن. He sent Mu'adh to the people of Yemen. Again in Bukhari. وبعث دحية الكلبي رضي الله عنه بكتاب إلى عظيم بصرة. And he sent دحية الكلبي رضي الله عنه to the ruler of بصرة. This is also in صحيح البخاري, كتاب أخبار الآحاد. ما كان يبعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأمراء والرسل واحدا بعد واحد. That how the Prophet ﷺ used to send the people one by one to the kings and to the rulers to the different areas. وغيره من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. Second, روى البخاري رضي الله عنه رحمه الله عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال بينما الناس بقباء في صلاة الصبح, while the people were praying in Quba in the Fajr prayer, إذ جاءهم آت فقال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أنزل عليه الليلة قرآن وقد أمر أن يستقبل الكعبة. While they were praying in the Fajr prayer in Quba, a person came to them and he said, a Quran has been revealed to the messenger tonight, this last night, that you should turn your face towards al-Kaaba. فاستقبلوها. So turn your faces to it. They were already starting their prayer towards Jerusalem, to the north. وكانت وجوههم إلى الشام فاستداروا إلى الكعبة. So they were facing Sham and they turned and faced Al-Kaaba, which would be to their south. This is in Sahih Bukhari also. And you cannot say that this is hukmun amali. You cannot say that this is a practical matter. It is not actually a matter of belief. لأن العمل بهذا الحكم مبني على اعتقاد صحة الخبر. Because acting upon it means that they believed in the truth of what the person told them. So it is a matter of belief as well as being a matter of action. So, and you know, it was only one, maybe a couple of people, but at least a few people who came and told them in their prayer, and they immediately listened to them. Umar radiallahu anhu said, كان وكان رجل من الأنصار إذا غاب عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشهدته أتيته بما يكون من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا غبت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشهد أتاني بما يكون من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is in the hadith, the long hadith of Umar رضي الله عنه, when he they heard that he divorced all of his wives, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is when he had a friend that he had an agreement with him. He said, you know, they used to work, they had to work, and so he had like, you know, a deal with his friend that when I have the time to when I do not have the time to go and teach, then to listen to the teaching, so you go and listen and then bring me with the information, whatever you learned, and vice versa. When you are working, I go and bring you the information. So you see how keen they were to learn the knowledge, just as we are now, alhamdulillah. So they take turns getting, so that none of them will miss any of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even when they have to go and work. So this, he bringing this to tell us that, you know, it was only one person that would go, and the other person coming. And when he comes, he wouldn't say, "You are only one person. You are individual. I need two or three evidence witnesses with you to accept your hadith, your narration." No, rather, he would take it without argument, and the other one the same. You know, this is a long hadith, as I said. Sometime, maybe, inshallah, we can have chance to discuss it in some detail. Once he came to him, Umar was there, and the man went, and he came and he said, "There is a great disaster. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorced all of his wives." So Umar radiallahu anhu dropped whatever he was doing, and he ran immediately to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to investigate what's the matter. And he saw that he was in his house. He had somebody standing by his door, not allowing anyone to come in. And you know, it appeared like a situation of crisis, right? So he stayed by the door. He tried to get in and he wouldn't let him. He told him, "Go and tell him Umar." And he said, he did not let him, he didn't say anything. And then he played a trick. I don't remember the detail of the hadith now, until he finally got permission to enter to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was, you know, sitting frowning or something, and he said some joke to make him laugh. And then after that, he said, you know, if my wife, he said, you know what, if my wife did anything, I would break her neck, or something to that effect. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled or something like that. But anyways, I mean, it's a long hadith which has lots of lessons in it. We stay in our subject here. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, نَضَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي أَوْ سَمِعَ مِنِّي حَدِيثًا فَحَفِظَهُ حَتَّى يُبَلِّغَ فَرُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ, which means, may Allah give nadara, give glory, give beauty to anyone who hears my words and then remember them and then deliver them to others, because there might be a person to whom the information or the knowledge is delivered who will benefit, who will understand it better than the one who carried it to him. So this hadith is also telling, encouraging people as individuals or groups to go and report the hadith from one to the other. Okay, and so in addition, so these are some of the ahadith, in addition to the ayat, that prove that we must take the hadith of the ahad, or the individual hadith, as a proof of matters of practice or matters of belief, of aqidah. And as for the people who say that you cannot take them in matters of aqidah or belief, This is قَوْلٌ مُبْتَدَعٌ مُحْدَثٌ لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ فِي الدِّينِ. This is an innovated saying which has no basis in the deen. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ بِهِ وَاحِدٌ مِنَ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ. And was not said by even one of the Salaf, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their immediate followers, رضوان الله تعالى عليهم. وَلَمْ يُنْقَلْ عَنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. It was not reported from any of them. بَلَ وَلَا خَطَرَ لَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. I don't know how he knows this, but I mean, it's possible. He said it did not even occur to their minds. وَلَوْ وَجِدَ دَلِيلٌ قَطْعِيٌّ يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ أَحَادِيثَ الْآحَادِ لَا تَثْبُتُ بِهَا عَقِيدَةً لَعَلِمَهُ الصَّحَابَ وَصَرَّحُ بِهِ وَكَذَلِكَ بَعْضُ مِنَ السَّلَفِ. If there was any proof to such a claim, then it would have been known by some at least of the Sahaba, and it would have been transmitted from them to us. In addition, such a wrong claim leads to the belief to rejecting hundreds of authentic ahadith that are that were said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, those who say that you cannot take the ahadith ahad in matters of aqidah, they would have to reject that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than all other prophets and messengers. His shafa'ah at the time of resurrection of Hashr, his shafa'ah for the people of Kabair, of his ummah, the people who committed major sins, all his miracles except for the Quran, because Quran is mutawatir. Other than that, they would have to reject everything, like the splitting of the moon. I've heard many people who say this is not true because it is hadith ahad, for example, when he pointed to the moon and it split. Is this an authentic hadith? And then it contradicts the scientific knowledge or something like that. That's what they say. And that the water, there was a spring of water from among his finger. Many hadith about his miracles. They would reject كيفية بدء الخلق وصفة الملائكة والجن وصفة الجنة والنار مما لم يذكر في القرآن الكريم. All of this description of Jannah and hellfire, the angels and the jinn, how Allah started the creation, all of that which is not mentioned in the Quran but only in the hadith, they would reject it because of their rejecting of hadith ahad. They do reject the questioning of Munkar and Nakir in the grave. They reject the questioning of the angels in the grave. They reject the squeeze of the grave. They reject passing on the sirat. So, because what's in the Quran is more very general. It doesn't refer to a material or real sirat that we pass on. And al-hawd, the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his spring or his pool. Wal-mizan dhul-kaffatayn, and the two levels of the balance on the Day of Judgment. They would reject believing that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prescribed for every human being his fate, sa'ada wa shaqawa, whether he'll be happy of the people of happiness or the people of misery, wa rizqahu wa ajalahu, and his rizq, his providence, and his appointed time while he is in the womb of his mother, and some of the things that refers specifically to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, khususiyat al-Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith describing that who are the ten who are given the tidings of Jannah, and that the people of who committed major sins will not stay permanently in the hellfire, and the belief in the overall signs of the hour. Like that the Mahdi will come out, will appear, will be sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The descending of Isa alayhi salam, the appearance of Ad-Dajjal, the coming out of the fire, that the sun will rise from the west, and the beast that will come out, and so on. All of these, signs of the hour, are established by authentic ahadith, which are individual, not mutawatir, and either way we must believe in them. But as I said, there are some people have the misunderstanding that this is not that you do not have to believe in them unless they are mutawatir. And as we said, this contradicts the understanding of the great scholars of the Ummah from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and those who followed them with true understanding and true knowledge. So the next preparatory discussion to the subject of Ashraat al-Sa'ah is regarding the knowledge of when the hour will come, or the doom's hour will come, al-Musa'ah. And this knowledge is a ghaib. Ghaib means something that is beyond the ability or the perception of the human beings. So, and maybe others as well, other of Allah's creation. But it is definitely something that it is of the ghaib that is it's only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is obvious from many ayat of the Quran and from many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is a knowledge that Allah azza wa jalla has kept to Himself and did not let any close angel or a sent messenger or a prophet know about it. So he's the only one who knows about it. Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. They ask you about the hour, when would it be? Say, its knowledge is only with my Lord. He would not explain it or exhibit it to its time, which means to the time when it happens, except Him. ثَقُلَتْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَةً. It is heavy for the heavens and the earth. It will not come to you but suddenly. And he says, يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةِ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. People ask you about the hour. Say, its knowledge is only, which means the knowledge of this, its time, is only, its knowledge is only with Allah. إِنَّمَا. This is, إِنَّمَا is for حَصر, for making it exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, with Allah. And how would you know that this, the hour may be very close? And similarly, Allah says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا فِيمَا أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. They ask you about the hour, when will it be? Why do you have to discuss it? It is to your Lord, is the time when its end or its arrival time. And we will come to the hadith of Jibreel that we referred to previously, and discuss it inshallah today. And also Imam Muslim rahimahullah recorded from Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying 1 month before he died, تسألوني عن الساعة وإنما علمها عند الله وأقسم بالله ما على الأرض من نفس منفوسة تأتي عليها مئة سنة. So he said, you ask me, that was 1 month before he died. He said, you are asking me about the time of the doom's hour, and its knowledge is only with Allah. But I swear by Allah that there is no soul, no living soul on the surface of the earth that there will, that 100 years will pass. Which means 100 over it. Which means 100 years will pass and it's still there. Which means all souls, living souls, will be gone within 100 years. We get to the explanation, inshallah. So Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says, explains that the knowledge, or declares that the knowledge of the hour is. Is not something that the Prophet ﷺ knows, because he says his knowledge is only with Allah. And he is the one who is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Prophet of mercy, of forgiveness, of malhama, of the heavy fighting, the one that people will be resurrected after him, and so on. And yet he says بُعِثْتُ وَالسَّاعَةَ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَتَيْن, I have been sent with the hour like these two fingers, which means very close to each other. And yet he told him, Allah told him to refer its knowledge to him. When he is asked about it, he said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, say its knowledge is with Allah, but most people do not know. So these are the words of Ibn Kathir. What is the meaning of that hadith by the rest of it by Muslim? It is that after 100 years, all people who were alive at that time, alayhi wasalam, will be dead. Which means, as another hadith that we may come over it today or some other day, he says, "Man mata qamat qiyamatu," which means the one who dies, his qiyamah started. Which means, as far as he is concerned, you know, the time doesn't carry any more meaning for him anymore, because he is dead and he is under a different kind of life or situation. So to him it's as if he is at the time of resurrection, because whatever happens to him is not the same as in this world. So to him, to all of us, death is considered qiyamah. And sometimes, I think we discussed this before, we call it is called by some of the scholars, based on this, al-qiyamah al-sughra, the minor qiyamah. Death is al-qiyamah al-sughra. So he is referring in this hadith to this, that within 100 years, all living beings will be dead.
No matter that are living now,
that were living in his time,
in this moment,
in this moment of his time. Yeah, when he said it. Yeah.
Not in his time. In this moment, whoever, yeah, born is born after that moment is not considered from 100.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So this exactly from the time when he was saying this.
Exactly.
So within 100 years, everybody who was living at that moment would not be alive.
Everybody that was living at that moment
when he said this
will not be alive 100 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless they live 200 years.
Ibn Qayyim says, وَقَدْ جَاهَرَ بِالْكَذِبِ بَعْضُ مَنْ يَدَّعِي فِي زَمَانٍ الْعِلْمَهُ يَتَشَبَّعُ بِمَا لَمْ يَعْطَى أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ. Ibn Qayyim says that some people lie, from those who claim knowledge in our time, in his time, when they are trying to saturate themselves with that which they do not have. That is, they try to claim things which are not true. And this is comes from the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says, "Al-mutashabbi'u biman lam yata kalabisi thawbayzur," which means the one who claims things that he is not given, tries to show off things that he was not given, is like the one who is wearing two garments of zur. Zur means like fake or fabricated stuff. Why is it two garments? Because المتشبه بما أعطي, he is wearing one fake garment, because one, he is showing off. He is showing off and being arrogant about things which are really not his, because it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how about if he is not, doesn't even have that? You know, so that's a double lie, and therefore it has a double punishment. So anyways, he says some people who claim the knowledge in our time, in their time, they are, when they are claiming things, claiming that which they were not given, which means the knowledge, they claim that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew when the hour will be. And they were told, how about the hadith in which the Jibreel said, "Mal mas'ulu anha bi'alam min as-sa'il," the one who was asked about it does not know better than the one who is asking. The one who was asked does not know better than the one who asked him. فَحَرَّفَهُ عَمْ مَوْضِعِهِ, so they changed the meaning of this. They altered it from the meaning, the correct meaning. وَقَالْ مَعْنَاهُ أَنَا وَأَنْتَ نَعْلَمُهَا. They said, that means you do not know better than you, which means both of us know. Instead of, you know, both of us do not know. He says, Ibn Qayyim, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْجَهْلِ. This is of the worst ignorance. وَأَقْبَحِ التَّحْرِيفِ. And the ugliest alteration. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعلم بالله أن يقول لمن كان يظنه أعرابيا أنا وأنت لا نعلم الساعة. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would be more knowledgeable about Allah than to claim or to say to the one whom he didn't know that he was Jubayl, he thought that he was a man from the, you know, from the area, from the outside areas of Medina. He said, he wouldn't tell him, you and me, we know about the hour, when he does not know that man. إلا أن يقول هذا الجاهل أنه كان يعرف أنه جبريل. Unless they claim that he knew that he was Jibreel, when he really did not know him, because as the Prophet ﷺ said, this is in one of the reports of the hadith, which is in Musnad Ahmad, with a authentic isnad. He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مَا جَاءَنِي فِي صُورَةٍ إِلَّا عَرَفْتُهُ غَيْرَ هَذِهِ الصُّورَةِ. He said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, he never, Jibreel, never came to me in a form, but I knew him, except when he came with this form, which means he did not know him. وفي اللفظ الآخر ما شبه علي غير هذه المرة. He was not disguised for me except in that time. وفي اللفظ الآخر, also another report, ردوا علي الأعرابي فذهبوا فالتمسوا فلم يجدوا شيئا. Another report, after he left, he said, go and get that Bedouin. And then when they ran after him to catch him, they could not find him. He disappeared. So all of this shows that he did not know who he was. وَإِنَّمَا عَلِمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ بَعْدَ مُدَّةٍ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم only knew that this was Jibreel after a while. Sit down. ثُمَّ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ كَمَا قَالَ عُمَرُ. Like Umar said, فَلَبِثْتُ مَرِيَّ. He said, I sat for a long while. And after that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يَا عُمَرُ أَتَدْرِي مَنِ السَّائِلُ. أَوْ عُمَرُ. Do you know who was that who asked me these questions? He said, then he told him, no, Allah and Rasul and his messenger knows better. So he said, that was Jibreel who came to teach you your deen. والمحرف يقول, the one who alters the meanings, he says, علم وقت السؤال أنه جبريل ولم يخبر الصحابة بذلك إلا بعد مدة. They claim that he knew that it was Jibreel all along, but he did not tell the Sahaba except afterwards. ثم قوله في الحديث ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل يعم كل سائل ومسؤول. And then his statement, the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who is questioned about it does not know better the one who is asking, it covers every questioner and questioned, everyone who asks and everyone who is being asked. فكل سائل ومسؤول عن هذه الساعة شأنهما كذلك. So everyone who is asked about the hour, this applies to him. And this is in Al-Manar al-Munif by Ibn al-Qayyim, which is a book of hadith. It would help, you know, for completeness, for the sake of completeness, to mention the hadith of Jibreel for those who probably do not know it, even though it's a very well-known hadith. Just, you know, to imagine the scenario so that, you know, Abdul Rahman, come and sit here and listen to this story. So that, you know, we have the full story. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the masjid. And then, as Umar radiallahu anhu described, while they were sitting with him in the masjid, a man entered. Shadidu bayad al-thiyab, shadidu sawad al-shar. His clothing were very white in color, which means they are not dusty or anything. And his hair is very black. لا يعرفه أحد منا. None of us knows him. So he came in straight until he reached where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting. وليس عليه أثر السفر لا ليس عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرف أحد منا. And it seems contradictory that it doesn't look like a traveler and yet none of us knew him. So he came in and walked all the way until he reached where the Prophet ﷺ was sitting. He sat next to him until his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means very, very close sitting. Which means he put his hands on his thighs, and it is not clear whose thighs, his own thighs or the Prophet's thighs, Allahu alam. But if we apply the Arabic rule, then he was the one mentioned last, so his own thighs, probably, most likely his own thighs and the Prophet's thighs, Allahu alam. So, but his sitting, you know, when you find somebody sitting so close to the other person, his knees against his knees, and, you know, looking into his eyes, and then he starts asking him questions, you feel that he is trying to be very intimate, very close, and he has tried to intimate.